Hello, beloved, and welcome to this, the 18th Bible study on spiritual warfare. Can you believe it? 18 Bible studies already. But what a privilege to be able to take God's Word and to take a topic like spiritual warfare and just look at it from different angles. Because at the end of the day, it is important for us to understand what we should do when we are caught in a spiritual battle. Because spiritual warfare is a reality. And I think through the series so far, you have seen that. Before we continue, though, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in Jesus' precious name. Thank you for your loving kindness. And thank you so much that we can study your word and see what your word has to teach us about spiritual warfare. And especially the battles that we find ourselves in, Lord, that sometimes we don't think about. But the reality is there. And thank you for everything that you do for us as your children. Making us aware also of the fact that we are in this spiritual battle. I pray, Father, that you will please open up our hearts to receive and our minds to understand your word so that you may be glorified in and through our lives. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, so what we're going to do in this Bible study is we are going to take a look at the battle that we find ourselves in sometimes with family and friends and so on. Now, as you can recall, last time, in our series on spiritual warfare, we looked at the battle that we are engaged in against the world. All right, and this week, it is the battle that we are engaged in with regards to our family and friends and acquaintances, that kind of thing. Because don't think that it's just against enemies and people afar off that we are in a battle with. No. It is sometimes people very, very close to us, very close to our own lives, very close to home, flesh and blood people. Now, I would like you to listen to this. This is in Micah chapter 7, verse 5 to 6. This is Micah's description. Micah, a small prophet, one of the minor prophets, and this is what he has to say. Micah chapter 7, verse 5 to 6. He says, "Do not trust in a friend. Do not put your confidence in a companion. Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your bosom. For son dishonors father, daughter rises against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men in his own household." Wow, isn't that a mouthful? But it's so true. It is so true. But beloved, it's actually heartbreaking to see how many families and relatives and friends are living in hostility towards one another, isn't it? I mean, maybe you know firsthand what it is like to have a family member that are hostile towards you. You see, it's no wonder that Micah says, what he does in verse 5 when he says, "Do not trust in a friend. Do not put your confidence in a companion. Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your bosom." You see, he doesn't trust anyone anymore. He doesn't trust a friend, doesn't trust a companion, doesn't trust family members. He doesn't trust any in-laws. No, Micah doesn't trust anyone. And why? I mean, it's clear that the moment when selfishness enters into any relationship, it will destroy that relationship. And that's what we see here. This is what we experience in Micah and the words that he uses. Albert Barnes, in his commentary, says that passions and sin break every band of friendship and kindred and gratitude and nature when everyone seeks his own. You see, when somebody starts being selfish in a relationship, when a relationship is all about self, it will destroy that relationship. And that's the problem, is Satan just has to kind of probe people to start focusing on self in relationships. He just tempts them to make everything in that relationship about themselves, and it will eventually destroy that relationship. Now, in Micah chapter 7, verse 1 to 6, he was actually expressing grief over the circumstances of his day. So he looked at what was happening around him, and then he just expressed his grief about what he saw. I mean, he was actually searching for an upright person. And while searching for an upright person, he couldn't find one. In verse 2, we read the words of the prophet as he actually shows his grief. Now, as he's just filled with sorrow, he says, "The faithful man has perished from the earth, and there is no one upright among men." You see, Michael was looking for an upright person, a faithful person. Couldn't find one. He says, "They've perished from the earth. There is no one upright among the men." That's what he found. In verse 3, he speaks about the leaders who conspires to basically get what they wanted. It's selfish. So the leaders became very selfish. And then in verse 5 and 6, obviously, he says that no one can be trusted. So Micah is looking around, looking at the community around him, looking at the people around him, and he can't find anyone to be trusted. Somebody that's just faithful, somebody that's upright. He couldn't find anybody of the leaders that was not involved in conspiring to get what they want. They were just running for their own things, trying to get what they could out of their leadership positions. Now, it's as if the people, if you look at relationships now, it's as if the people that are the closest to you could actually potentially be our greatest enemy. Have you thought about that? I remember watching a documentary on the life of Wurm Brand. And I remember how at one stage, Wurm Brand was locked up already, and his son, I think he joined the enemy, and they were standing facing one another next to the barbed wire fence. And I remember how Wurm Brand spoke to his son, and then his son just turned around and walked away because his son was sold out to the enemy. It was one of those sad scenes. But then again, many people have been betrayed by those who are actually the closest to them. If I'm not mistaken, I think that's how Wurm Brand ended up in jail, was through his son. Beloved, when we look closely to Micah chapter 7, verse 6, we see the depth of the betrayal that we can find within relationships, now, between people that are close. Let's say flesh and blood relationships, or very, very close relationships. When Micah speaks about a son that dishonors his father's, it actually means, or his father, it actually means that instead of showing respect to his father and honor and reverence and obedience to his father, the son then comes along and behaves rudely towards his father. He shows no respect. There's no reverence or gratitude for the years that the father has provided for him. He just exposes his father's failings. He just makes his father the object of his teasing and his mockery and his bad remarks. So in that way, the son dishonors the father, when the son is actually supposed to honor his father, because his father has been the one who were looking after him for many, many years of his life. When Micah speaks about the daughter who rises up against her mother, it basically means that instead of being soft and pliable, you know, like a woman is supposed to be, that's part of the nature, that's how God created them to be, a daughter basically loses her natural affection, and she forgets both her relation to her mother and the fact that she's a woman. She basically replies to her mother using ill language. You know, I don't know if you've ever listened to daughters swearing at their mothers. It is so inappropriate. You know, when Micah speaks about this, he actually says that she opposes and she disobeys her mother. She scolds at her mother. She strives and, how can I say, litigates with her. That means she will even take her to court, according to one of the commentaries. That means she would rise up as a witness against her own mother. That's what it means when Micah speaks about the daughter that rises up against her mother. Now, when Micah speaks about the daughter-in-law that rises up against her mother-in-law, that also means it's bad. I mean, that person came into the family as a daughter-in-law. But it actually means that the daughter-in-law speaks boldly. That means without watching what she says. She just speaks against her mother-in-law. Talks a lot of stuff. And that hurts. Okay. It's when she speaks disrespectfully. It's when she makes, you know, light of her mother-in-law. Instead of being respectful, because she is her mother-in-law, she's the mother of her husband, she's just disrespectful. That's what it means in Micah. Now Micah chapter 6 verse 7 continues to say that a man's enemies are the men of his own household. A man's enemies are the men of his own household. And this basically means that those who should honor the man of the house, I mean, the person that is the head of the home, should be honored, should be respected for the fact that that is the head of the home. They should basically defend his property. They should promote his interest. But instead of doing that, they do anything to bring injury to that person. Now that's when Micah says that a man's enemies are the men of his own household. Yo. But beloved, this is such an accurate description of what is happening in many households today, isn't it? It's unfortunate, but it's unfortunately true. You see, when the people that is the closest to us becomes our greatest enemies, then it is sad. When our greatest battle is with the people of our own households, I think that's a bad place to be. Because sometimes that is exactly what happens. The greatest spiritual battle that people experience is a battle against their own family, against the people of their own household. It's real. It is very, very real. And no wonder that Jesus gives all believers a brand new family. Not a flesh and blood family, but a brand new family in Him, in Christ. I mean, and this new family consists of brothers and sisters who've been changed from the inside. They've been regenerated. They are completely different. They're indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Because God, the Holy Spirit, is the one who basically joins this spiritual family together. And in our new spiritual family, Christ rules. His instructions apply. You see, what Christ says now goes, because it's His family. Now, as God's family, we can't act towards one another the way that we want. We can't just backbite and say things and whatever. No, we got to guard our mouth. We got to guard our tongue. We got to guard our actions. We got to do what God wants us to do, because we are in a brand new family, and the head of our home, or the head of the new household, is Christ Himself. You see, it is Christ who sets the rules. We are to adhere to His rules. And if we don't, God will discipline us. In a normal family household, sometimes the father or somebody in authority wants to discipline, but those who are in the wrong, they refuse to take the discipline. But in God's household, God is the one who disciplines. And let me tell you, you can't get away from God's discipline. God knows how to discipline, He knows when to discipline, and He knows what to do to put you in His discipline. See, beloved, no one has the right in God's family to break the unity of the Spirit. So God is the one who protects it, and we should protect it as well, because we are His children. We're not allowed to act or to say whatever we want to one another. We are under Christ Jesus as the head of the church, head of this body. All right, now looking at Micah again, at what Micah said. It's so heartbreaking that families and friends and relatives, even co-workers and servants, could become so hostile that they get into a spiritual battle against the people that are so close to them. They become, how can I say, I don't want to call it enemies, but they become instruments in Satan's hands to actually fight the battle against people that are the closest. And let me tell you, people that stay in your household, people that stay in your home, how do you get away from them? They're right there. They're under your nose. They can't. That's as if you can't get rid of them. With somebody that's outside, you can just turn around and go home, you know. But with somebody that's under your roof, it's a completely different story. And many times, the spiritual battle is the fiercest with people that are under your own under your roof, if I can say it that way. You see, I believe that we need to remember that our sinful flesh is capable of a lot of heartache, a lot of hardship, a lot of pain. And Satan abuses our sinful nature, especially those members in our families that are not saved. It's much easier to talk to somebody that is saved. If you've got a family member, that family member is saved, it's easy. You go and sit down and you say, listen, let's pray about it. Let's take the word of God and let's discuss and let's sort this out in a godly fashion. But with somebody that's not saved, it's not that simple. Because they don't adhere to God's word. They don't care about what God has to say about things. They just care about themselves. All right, so it's just one of those painful things when you are in a constant battle with somebody that's under your own roof. Beloved, but praise God. Our faith overcomes the world. Nah? Remember when we looked at our battle against the world? It's our faith. And you know what? Being a new creation in Christ, I believe, is one of the building blocks to having a solid, biblical, God-honoring relationship. Or God-honoring relationships, if I could say that, to the glory of God. Because if we are a new creation in Christ, it influences not only our spiritual lives, it has an impact on every aspect of our lives. And I think that's so important, is that we need to understand that it is being a new creation in Christ that influences relationships. And when I have family members or relatives or people that are close to very, very close, flesh and blood kind of people, that are hostile towards me, how can I say, standing in enmity against me, they are constantly fighting a spiritual battle against me, I can be rest assured, God has taken care of that. Because there's a spiritual brother, somebody or sister, that are closer to my flesh and blood, to me than my flesh and blood brother or sister. And God has put us into this new spiritual family, so that we can have relationships that are amazing to the glory of God. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 36, Jesus used the words of Micah. And this is what he said. He says, a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Jesus used the words of Micah. What Jesus was pointing towards was the division that would actually come because of him. You see, those who believe in and trust Christ alone for salvation will be ridiculed by their own household, especially those who do not believe. Sometimes also believers will, there will be hostility between believers as they disagree on certain things or whatever, but at least they will be able to come together, pray about things and sort it out in a spirit of humility with one another. But beloved, if you have in a household unbelievers, people who are not saved, it will be very, very hard within that family. An unbelieving son, for example, will not deal with his father with respect. An unbelieving daughter will also not be respectful towards her mother, and so a daughter-in-law. I mean, unbelieving relatives and workers and that kind of thing will also be disrespectful. And the reason is because they are unsaved. So they will be instruments in the hands of the devil. That's the problem. Because he has taken them captive to do his will. Remember that. So the devil comes, he takes them captive to do his will. And what is that will? to destroy relationships, to destroy families. So he will come into relationships and just destroy those relationships, because that's what he does. What does the devil want? Why does he go after relationships? I believe that he wants to destroy God's people. So it's no surprise that a man's greatest enemy can actually be someone from his own flesh and blood household. And you know what? The spiritual battle is real. You're going to feel it physically. I mean, because you're talking to that person, there's going to be this tenseness in the relationship that builds up and builds up and builds up. But ultimately, it is a spiritual battle. A massive spiritual battle. And it's very hard to get away from it if it's people under your own roof. But beloved, be of good cheer. I think we can really, truly rejoice that we have a spiritual family of regenerated brothers and sisters that are closer than any blood relative can ever be. And because we all understand that we are in this spiritual war, in this spiritual battle, we can actually we can support one another. So if the one person is strong and the other one is weak, we can actually be there for one another, so that at the end of the day, we can make one another strong, because we understand how it works in the spiritual realm. So may the Lord really, really open up our eyes and ears to this reality, that the people that are the closest to us, in the sense of under our own roofs, could be the source of a spiritual battle that is fierce and intense. But God has made a way in the sense of giving us a spiritual family. And I believe that's why the church is so important. That's why believers are so important, that we are able to stand together and to pray together and to have fruitful relationships as the Holy Spirit is the one who brings unity and binds us together for the glory of God. Right, so be aware of this battle, but know that in Christ, this battle has been won. And praise the Lord for that. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Father, it's so wonderful to know that you, as the living Almighty God, has given us a spiritual family that even though they're not flesh and blood, they are true brothers and sisters. And thank you for Christ as the head of the church and you as our Heavenly Father. And Father, thank you so much we can be part of this new family, new relationships. And even though we might be in a spiritual battle with regards to our own family, flesh and blood, people under our own roofs, Father, thank you so much that we have a spiritual family. I pray for each one that might be experiencing a spiritual battle with their flesh and blood relatives. I pray, Father, please, will you have mercy? And I pray, Father, for a way out. Not to be family anymore, but to be able to overcome the spiritual battle and to be able to live in harmony with one another, even though Satan will always use a situation like that to attack your people. So I pray for your protection. I pray for your guidance. I pray for the reality of this new family that we are part of, that it will be burned into our hearts, Father, and that we will embrace our church family for your glory and for the purpose that you have placed us in this body. May your name be glorified in and through our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you very much for everything, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much for listening to this Bible study. I mean, at the end of the day, wow, what a battle we are in, hey? But praise God, he has always made a way, where sometimes it might seem that there is no other way. So God willing, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he give you his peace. God willing, until next time, bye-bye.